Hey, good morning and welcome to Hooked on Drupal. Today is Wednesday, February 25th, and I believe this is the second official podcast that we're launching in 2015. First post Michigan Drupal Camp podcast. And we do have a very well organized and thought out agenda for today. We got a lot of material to work through. I'm just looking at the call sheet of everything that we need to attend to today, and we're going to get through it though. I'm really confident. So with that, that's kind of a lie. We have no idea what today's agenda and subject matter is, but those of you who have viewed the podcast in the past know that we have some regular subject matter items to attend to. So let's pick up with that. Unless you guys have, wait a minute. We need to do introductions.
It's been a while.
Yeah, and I've gotten some gentle backhands online for not.
They don't know who we are.
Apparently not. I mean, I would think we would be at internet superstar celebrity status
soon,
by now.
Soon.
But I am Shane Siva. We're here at Commercial Progression. I am joined by Chris Keller. And the incomparable Brad Slurzliak.
Yeah. Yeah, we have combined our names together.
Yeah. We're Briskeliak.
If that's easier for people to remember.
Brangelina.
That seems like a real cop-out.
Yeah, I mean, we wanted to combine first and last name.
It just really emphasizes Angelina, which I guess is fine, but, like, what did Brad get out of that?
I don't know.
A bunch of Cambodian children.
I guess,
yeah. Now, we have just arrived at a true talk morning radio show if we're covering Brad and Angelina.
Yeah. It's Wacky Wednesday.
Yeah, and there's some confusion here. I mean, we do have the new Discotech lighting. We did get a new production budget this year, and that was the big investment. It also doubles.
So the production budget is gone. But
yeah,
we got it. It's gone.
I mean, it took me a while to find something as stimulating of a visual as
good.
This.
It's really good.
Yeah. And it's got some other modes that we'll experiment with. It also has a look into the future mode. So we might be able to. Yeah, bring it front and center and
see when Drupal 8 will be released.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, if you put it in blue mode, you can look right into the blue future.
Perfect.
So, I mean, that was kind of on the back of the box. I mean, and most people are like, see the future of Drupal. Yeah.
You'd think that'd be like you'd put that on the front of the box.
Yeah.
Like if I was selling something,
right,
I could see into the future, it would be.
But at
and
the
center.
DJ supply store, that's not a big deal.
I guess.
Question.
Yeah.
When it comes to seeing into different time periods, do the colors relate to different things, or is that just kind of, is blue the color of the future? And if so, what's the color of the past? These are just things I want to know. You don't have to answer them right now.
That's fair. I mean, there's some philosophical speculation. I think the past is usually rosy. Rose-colored past filter glasses. I don't know. My childhood, I remember the good things.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, except for that one time that I'm not gonna talk about now. All right, so Drupal Camp did happen, and actually, Brad, I've been working on laboring away actually on the video edits. So those are all going up in the next week. We're going to launch a little preview, hopefully in the next couple days here. So, Brad, you did some interviews at Drupal Camp, and I'm going to put together the sizzle reel of, like, all the hot stuff
I did
from the camp.
32 seconds worth of interviews, so how long is this brief?
Well, that's about as long as a sizzle reel needs to be.
Good 30-second sizzle reel.
Yeah. But a lot of excitement in those moments. You know, and there might have been a little bit of over-branding on the booth interview location. It's possible. It's possible, but you know, the marketing guy always has to edge on shameless.
The machine gun approach, right?
Right. Yeah. Get it out there and get it in front of people. And I was especially proud of your composure during the onslaught of smoke. That was very appropriate, I think. And we'll highlight this conversation with a few visuals so people can see the billowing fog machine. I think that's a good addition to any interview.
Yeah, some sort of smoke or fog.
Yeah, really anything gaseous.
Okay, so
one of the interesting things from those interviews that we didn't get to touch on very much in the interviews, and I'm curious about Chris's stance on it, was the folks at HFCC. By the way, what a cool venue that we had for the event. The folks at HFCC are looking at Backdrop along with Drupal 8, so for their forward progress, you know, a year or two from now, they're looking at what they want to put their site into, and we haven't really discussed Backdrop all that much, so I was kind of curious about what Chris thought.
Yeah, about Backdrop in general, or...
Just the landscape.
Yeah, and you've stopped by my office and described it briefly. You know, I'm sure most of our audience is much more educated in Drupalese than I am, but maybe if you could give a quick introduction as to what Backdrop is.
I believe it was Quick Sketch.
Quick Sketch.
And someone else, I believe. I can't remember, I'm sorry, their name, but they forked Drupal 7, and they decided they didn't exactly like where Drupal 8 was going. So...
And this is a common thing, right? I mean, this is kind of how...
Well, it happens in the open source world, sure. I mean, Debian got forked a couple of weeks ago or a couple of months ago.
MySQL got turned into MariaDB.
Yeah, people... I mean, that's kind of one of the great things about it. If you don't like what's happening, you make your own.
That's how you get something new and great.
The famous OpenOffice, LibreOffice schism.
Sure, and those are both still around, and they both have worked out fairly well. But, I think... I don't think the people that forked it hated Drupal 8 necessarily. They just didn't feel like it fit in with small and medium-sized businesses anymore. They were going, like, we were just after enterprise.
Right.
So that's where this is supposed to kind of fill that space that Drupal 7 fills right now.
Yeah. And personally, how do you feel about...
It's okay because we have a hate for panels.
Yeah.
A hatred of panels. It comes with panels out of the box and is more layout-based instead of using blocks for most things like we do. So at a technical level, that's kind of what I don't like about it.
One of the natural conclusions, because Backdrop is intended to be very Drupal 7-like, and it would be an alternative to Drupal 8. And so one of the refrains that you hear fairly often is like, well, why wouldn't you just use Drupal 7? Because Drupal 7 is even, like, way more supported than Backdrop is. So it seems like it's filling in a niche that was kind of just invented. It was like a solution searching for a problem. I'm not saying that it's going to be a terrible failure. Kind of am. But I'm not seeing the... whatever the sales point is on it.
Yeah, it's like if you don't want to use Drupal 8, use Drupal 7. I don't, so I don't understand.
Or after today's lunch presentation, I'm sure both of you will be using Joomla.
Sure,
I'm attending today's lunch presentations with the hopes that you never say the word Joomla again.
This is the final burial.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Yeah, I mean, well, old habits die hard. I fired it up last night, and I mean...
You're all ready?
I was a bit rusty. It took a few, you know, I had PHP 479 or 500 error on the first three installs.
Yeah.
So I was like, well, maybe this web design stuff isn't so easy. You know, like I remember it being easier, but I did get it installed. I do have a few things that, you know, I want to show for comparison's sake, but but I'm sure, you know, once I get it out of my system,
that's good. Yeah, we should probably know what our competition is.
Yeah. We're probably going to steal anything that we can, Like,
if you show us anything good, we're going to steal it and put it in our install profile, probably.
Yeah.
Well, and I mention it because I still, well, because I always mention it, but small to medium-sized businesses, that might be a little competitive space with Backdrop, versus the enterprise path.
Right. So I installed Backdrop, and I really didn't notice anything that it did that was really different from Drupal 7.
Like, okay.
It looked the same, which was a big disappointment to me. Like, I think they really could have stepped up their game with creating a theme. Like, it just uses Bardic, I think.
Yeah, because that's one of the things that people always say, right? Like, when it comes to the out-of-the-box performance of a particular CMS, it's like, you install WordPress and you get 2015 or whatever the name of the theme is.
Yeah, it looks nice.
Yeah, and it's like, wow, that looks like a blog. Mm-hmm. I can make a site and just go with it. If you're using Bartik out on the web, people are like, who are you, man?
Joker.
What are you doing?
Yeah. That's
gross.
Especially if you keep it the default blue. Who does that?
Man. So that's, I mean, when you have all these colors to experiment with, you know.
Yeah. I think they could have. They released the 1.0 version a while ago, and when I installed it, I was really hoping to see something kind of magical when it started up, but it was this is Drupal 7.
Right. Well, and from a developer perspective, what kinds of things would be noteworthy in a... Because there's all this, like, underlayers of frameworks and stuff like that, but some utilities have to have been desired.
There might be some cool stuff under the hood. I didn't, get to dig into it that much. But I know people are porting their Drupal 7 modules over...
And that's the wild part about it.
Over to Backdrop.
How much difference in the API is there, like, that it's necessary to port a Drupal 7 module into Backdrop instead of just using it like a Drupal module? It seems like a kind of a barrier to entry that might not have been necessary for the 1.0 release. But hey, I don't know anything about making open source projects, so maybe that's a short-sighted statement to make.
Yeah, there's definitely some more research we would need to do on the, like, code base of Backdrop to truly comment on it, I guess, without sounding like idiots.
Sure. Well, and Drupal 8 is a more complicated tool set. Is that accurate to say?
Yeah.
I mean, there's more going on. And I think, a lot of people or development shops kind of arrive at their niche of, these are the clientele that we're serving, and we don't really want something more complicated with more hoops to jump through. You know, kind of like the reign of Basecamp. You know, it's the beauty is in what you can't do with it, that a lot of people still choose it.
Yeah.
But.
Right. Well, there's a certain appeal to the procedural kind of hook-based, old-school PHP that Drupal represents, and Drupal 8's moving very strongly into that object-oriented thing, and it's scary for people who are...
Yeah, like, I grew up on the Drupal. Like, that's how I learned how to code. So, the object-oriented stuff is more based towards professional programmers, like people with computer science degrees, which I do not possess. I mean, I'm sure I'll be okay and be able to learn it, but it is a little scary... Like, once you've learned Drupal 7 so well, to move into something completely different.
Right. Right. So. Yeah, with ongoing projects, usually it takes a year and a half before a platform can really be left, right? I mean, just with everything that's kind of in the pipe.
Yeah.
So people need some sort of Drupal 7 option, given what they've already spec'd out or... started with.
Well, yeah, and Drupal 7 itself, security will be supported for a long time. So.
Yeah, I mean, it will be till the release of Drupal 9, right? Yeah. Which,
well, it might be faster in this.
Are they changing it up? Or?
I think so. They might even long-term support it in some way. That,
okay.
Drupal 7, I gotta tell you, it's pretty nice. It works pretty good.
Yeah. It's a good friend.
Yeah.
Been around for a while. Okay, well, other other highlights, things that you're looking forward to following up on from Drupal Camp? Were there any nuggets of information that kind of sparked something new?
Wayne had a great presentation about organic groups, and then I believe his name is Daniel. He was a PhD information scientist from U of M.
I forget how to say it.
He did a presentation about machine learning and categorizing stuff, and that seemed really interesting. Trying to think of an application where that would be really useful in our client work, but it was certainly like kind of eye-opening. So.
Yeah, can you give a... I think that was one that caught some attention by the title. A few people asked me about it at the event, assuming that I just kind of knew... You know, everything.
All the presentations and their content.
And I was like, yeah, machine learning, that's part of Skynet, and it's going online. You know, pretty soon Drupal's a big player in that.
Well, you do know quite a bit about machine learning, right? I mean, with personalization and HubSpot and all that fun stuff. Like, you get the idea of what it's supposed to do.
Yeah, well, I mean, help me translate. I mean, I understand automation tool sets, and I've spent some time with... marketing automation tool sets that are, you know, trying to adapt to what's going on out there and give you better information feedback.
Did he kind of reproduce a mini version of Acquia Lift? Is that kind of what he had going on, or?
He mentioned that would be something that he'd be able to do in the future. The particular project was he had a whole bunch of articles from different places on the web. And just using, one side of it was using Amazon Mechanical Turk to have people tag and categorize different phraseology on the page. And the other part was running these machine learning algorithms over the entire data set. And in doing so, being able to determine with about 97% accuracy whether they're liberal or conservative political articles.
Oh, interesting. And a lot of that's already happening, right? I mean...
There are different tools that could be plugged.
And I know you can't talk about your NSA contracts in the podcast, but...
The what?
Exactly. Sorry. Excuse me. I was always amazed at the next layer of intelligence that was getting inserted into... marketing automation systems and the data sets that they have available to them. Once you get a lead and route it through Equifax and a couple other of these online databases, you can score someone and figure out how many children they have and what their debt ratio is, and then decide, you know, at what time you should call them so that, you know, they're fumbling through their credit cards at that moment and you're like, hey, do you need a debt consolidation loan? You know, so all of that stuff is happening, you know, already at kind of a scary level of precision, mostly automated. And we saw a lot of that in Lyft. We had a brief preview of that.
Well, should we let them in on? When I say them, I mean the microphone that's in front of us.
Right. Yeah. Okay.
Should we let them in why it would be cool if Daniel made that, or like the whole discussion that we've had about
plugging different pieces together to make something like that?
Well, yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah. Can you do it in 2 minutes, and then we have to predict the future?
Okay.
So we
go, Brad.
Okay, here we go. Acquia has released what's called the personalization module, and with it, you can plug in a service, whether it's Acquia Lift or some other service, that has that machine learning algorithm and returns back results that influence the personalization that occurs on the page. So you could make like a Meijer brand. Meijer is a store in Michigan that has its own brand, much like any other grocery stores. So if somebody were to make a Meijer brand Acquia Lift, they could get the personalization benefits of Acquia Lift without the necessary costs. But
Acquia, we're not saying that's going to happen.
Yeah, I don't know if that's a thing.
We're partners with you.
Yeah,
we're partners.
There's still in like inherently a lot of setup involved with it. So any sort of on-site personalization is going to be quite a venture, but that would get rid of that recurring cost.
Okay.
And that hasn't been invented yet, and it would be a tremendous amount of work, and somebody should charge a lot of money for it. But
yeah, things take effort to, yeah. Well, I mean, that's pretty interesting. So there is some competition in that space. Acquia is kind of a newcomer to managing big data in that sort of marketing automation sense. I was pretty impressed as a, I worked with HubSpot for about 3 or 4 years. I felt like they were ahead of the curve on a lot of things, but seeing the deep integration that you can do with the Lyft platform, they were definitely on par with the potential for functionality. It's just it wasn't out of the box. It wasn't customized so that a silly marketer like me can just start using it. But
right.
But
it can't be.
Yeah, there's so many questions that you had to ask about what you needed to do, which is very similar to the Drupal approach, right?
Mm-hmm.
That we've covered a few times is that it has to be tailored to your needs before
right.
It's useful.
Well, and we're like internally we're making things where it's kind of plug and play, but it's based on experience having configured the same thing a whole bunch of times. So
right.
We're making like oh. You want to blog on your site, this is going to work absolutely out of the box and be configurable, all these other things. So if you wanted to attach personalization to one of those, it would be a much quicker thing.
And it was still built into, like I saw some places where you had to rethink how you structure content types and stuff, but for the most part it seemed like it could plug in alongside.
Yeah, it was impressive. I thought it was pretty cool.
All right, well, with that, let's fire up the blue portal to the future. Let's see here. Excuse us. Okay, I think that's it there. So
that's the future setting.
That is the future. It does require a lot of coolant to keep the warp drives. So I apologize for the extra noise, but
I hope we don't blow that fuse back there.
That's amazing.
No, that's not a fuse. It's just a cover that has the word fuse on it.
Okay.
So staring into the future portal, the Discotech future Drupal 8 portal. When is Drupal 8 going to launch?
Oh, it's not good. It's not good. It says March 15th, 2016.
Oh my gosh.
In there.
I can see how from your angle it would look.
Because a 6 can also be a 9 if you
right,
flip it.
I think
19,
it's,
that's a long time.
Is that November 22nd, 2015?
Wow. Oh.
That's coming soon.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's right
pretty
around
fast.
The corner.
Yeah.
I mean, it's kind of, it's a little bit creepy.
So I'm sure it's either one.
Voyeur in on Dree's mind, from the inside.
Yeah.
This is neuron number 479 or 9.
I'm kind of thinking of those Lord of the Rings like things,
the wraiths,
like that
the
ring wizards race. Have in the tower that you can see through to the other side.
Right. I mean, we'll have to have.
Is that like the portal game?
The seeing
the
eye
bubbling.
Or something? He has to cover with the. I don't know what I'm talking about.
After looking into the future, for some reason I have a blue dye in my vision.
Well, there you have it. There's some really special content on this podcast that you're not going to get anywhere else. We blew our entire production budget on this... The voyeuristic time viewer of the future. Discotech Future Ball. That's some pretty valuable information. We would put a link to the future article, but I don't know that we can do that yet.
What?
Exactly. I mean, if we're going to link to future articles.
The future?
Yeah.
Well, the announcement for the Drupal 8 release.
Oh,
like,
there's a website
the
where you can play a game to predict when Drupal 8 will be released.
Well, there it is. Then we'll link to that. Okay. I think that's it for this edition of Hooked on Drupal. Okay. But look for the Drupal Camp presentations are going to be coming online. There's going to be some links and stuff on this podcast. And the first person outside of commercial progression to leave, the 13th person to leave a comment, will be in a drawing for a Drupal beer stein. This one's used.
So it's going to be a different one? Or is
this going to be that one? Is this also the prize for our internal, like, are you double dipping
the glasses? Better prize. There's a much better prize. Okay, very good. And
hey, wait, BSD?
Oh, yeah, we don't use Linux anymore. We're switching to BSD, just so everyone knows. Yeah. Linux is getting too popular.
Yeah, I'm going new herd.
All right, game over. I can't do it.